I've got a really great announcement to start the show off with, Pam.
Fill me in.
We've got the getaway coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
We've got registrations going on now with early bird discount rate. Goes till April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've got such a engaged, active nation, mm-hmm. which is all the people that listen to Sexy Marriage Radio and that are involved in the platform and the academy and, mm-hmm. and have come to getaways and such. But there's some two people that have come to getaways in the past that have been regulars
mm-hmm.
that are offering up scholarships again.
That's amazing.
They're going to cover half the registration.
Okay. Okay.
Couples.
So how does someone join in that?
So
that's
they
exciting.
Email us at feedback@sexymarriageradio.com and say, I want to take advantage of the half off scholarship. And depending on the, I mean, because I don't have a number from them, but we've got options.
Okay.
Of we want to help, they want to help, and we want to partner with them.
So sweet.
To help some people come. And when we know finances can be an issue, we totally understand that.
Yeah.
We're asking a lot from people to fly in or drive in, pay for a hotel, pay for food, pay for registration.
Right.
So it can be a costly endeavor. But if you're listening to this and you want to join us, all you got to do is email us about, hey, I want to take advantage of the half off. And we'll be in connection with you. And
Thanks to some amazing listeners
that are trying to help make sure people that we can remove at least part of an obstacle, hopefully.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it. Feedback@sexymarriageradio.com and let us know, hey, I want the half off. And we'll continue the conversation from there. Well, that's a fun way to start the show.
That is fun.
And so welcome to Sexy Marriage Radio, that each and every week we're trying to just make marriage simple.
Mm-hmm.
If that's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. I love the phrase I came across from a book. I think it was last year in the reading I did of, I've kind of rephrased it to marriage is simple, but the simplest things are often difficult. And that seems to fit pretty well in marriage because there's a lot of dynamics. It's actually kind of simple if you're objective about it.
If you're objective, that's...
But when we're not objective,
ding,
it's
ding,
difficult.
Ding. Ding,
actually
ding,
doing it is difficult. And that's what we want to talk about here. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you want to find out more about us and the easy way to tell your friends or kind of what we got going on here, check out our starter packs. You're going to go to smr.fm/starter. And these are just shows organized by topic and popularity. And it's a great idea of here's what we got going on. And also, if you want to let your voice be known about the show with questions you've got, comments, topics you want us to cover, let us know, 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. And coming up today on the regular version, I'm joined by Shannon Bryant, who she's a coach that works in the realm of jealousies and insecurities,
mm-hmm.
which when I came across her a couple months ago, it's like, oh, yes, this needs to be talked about more.
Because it's such broad range of people.
It's so human.
Yes, yes.
In a lot of ways. And so in the regular version is a conversation I got to have with her as we just start to unpack, what does this really look like? What does this mean? And then the biggest takeaway that both of us had, it was right towards the end, on the differences between fear and intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Such good information.
This hits home with me, I'm just saying.
And on the extended content, which is deeper, longer, and there are no ads, you can subscribe at smr.fm/academy. Pam and I continue the conversation based off of the regular version on how this has played out in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do about it? What does this really mean
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about navigating this world of jealousy and insecurity? Because if it's a human thing, well, I can't make it go away maybe, but I can make sense of it.
Yeah, you can make it go away.
I think there's always still going to be elements of insecurities. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong, though.
Well, the negative effects.
Correct.
The negative effects, right?
Can,
when I learn to deal with things, when I learn to deal with anything.
Steer it better.
Steer it better. Thank you. And without having all this walls crumbling down of negative effects.
That's perfect. Well, all that's coming up right after this. Today's episode is sponsored by an app that we both love, Paired.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a couples app designed to help create conversations and connections.
One of the great questions, do you remember when the first time was we met?
I do remember the first time we met. I remember curly hair from you, and I was, maybe I'm mistaken watching
cow.
Your reactions, but
holy
you had
cow,
kind of
I
like
had...
a little fuzz, half-row-ish frizz going on.
I had straight hair back then, but okay.
Okay, well, I also am remembering
this is hilarious.
I was basically like a 15, 16-year-old idiot.
I thought you were smoking hot. You were 15 and you were, in hindsight, jumping around like a crazy man.
Well, that was the idiot part.
But
because I didn't know how to express the feelings they were bubbling up at the time. And what Paired will help us do is walk down memory lane together and laugh at ourselves and also go, I don't remember that at all. Plus, it also gives you great ways to connect via quizzes, via daily questions. Those of you that like daily tasks where you can get a hot streak going and you mm-hmm. can kind of keep track of it and you get badges and it's all these different things that are designed to help you with the touch points that you need in your relationship to keep it a priority.
I love the trips down memory lane.
Well, this is the Paired app. It's a relationship app designed for couples. All you got to do is you and your partner download the app together. And then every day it gives you questions, quizzes, games to have fun, stay connected and deepen your conversations. So whether you're a few dates in or you've been together for a long time like Pam and I, and we still don't even know remember all
what,
the past.
What the hair was.
Yeah. It's time to lighten the mood and have fun with your partner using Paired. Head to paired.com/SMR and you get a 7-day free trial and 25% off when you sign up for a subscription. That's Paired, PAIRED.com/SMR and sign up today. Connect with your partner every day using Paired because a happier relationship starts here. Let's face it, each and every day, food is a part of our schedule.
Thank goodness, because I love food.
You absolutely do. To me, it can create stress because there's this element of like, I don't know what I want to cook. I don't know where do we want to go? What are we going to do? How do we get it all in, especially when we're really busy? Well, one of our sponsors today, Factor, is a great way to eat stress-free this spring with delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-improved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You get to choose weekly from a menu of 35 options. So they even have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. You can also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, which is like breakfast, lunch on the go, snacks, beverages to help you feel fueled and satisfied all the day long. Factor is your solution to fast premium meals without the need for cooking. I know you've appreciated the ease at which it good meals are provided,
yeah,
particularly in this time of year.
I take them to work, so it's a super easy, quick prep and healthy food while I'm at the desk all day.
Yep. So head to factormeals.com/passion50. And use code PASSION50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's a deal. Yes. That's code PASSION50 at factormeals.com/PASSION50. You get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Well, Shannon, welcome to the show and Sexy Marriage Radio. It's so good to see you again because we've got the chance where I was on your show recently too. So we already know about each other a little bit. So welcome. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you too. What a great episode. So thank you for being on my show. I loved it.
Absolutely. Well then let's dive right in with this one too, with because your world that how I came across you was with the concept of jealousy, which is so easy and at times rampant to have happen in our lives and in relationships. So how in the world did you land here? And then let's start unpacking.
Yeah.
What do we do that's best to help combat that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you would have asked me, you know, or told me seven or eight years ago that I'd be helping other people overcome jealousy, I would have said, I don't think so. No way, because I suffer from it myself big time. And, you know, also I thought I was the only one. And I think that that's a big part of it. I thought I was the only one that had these extreme thoughts or worries or concerns about my partner. I thought I was the only one with a part-time job of looking in his phone, you know, or social media or text and email. I wish I would have got paid for those days, but unfortunately not. So I just thought I was kind of on an island by myself, and I didn't. I also just thought this is just how I am. It's part of my DNA. It's just who I am. So,
real quick in your journey, just to pry for a moment, is this something? Were there some things that kind of brought it about, or is this a natural? It's all you've always had more of a leaning towards that.
Yeah. So I grew up in a very chaotic and violent environment. My father was an alcoholic. And at the age of 12, my parents divorced. Me and my little brother were doing, you know, just like you see, we're waiting at the window for my dad to show up on Saturday to come and pick us up. And he wouldn't show and he wouldn't show. And weekend after weekend, that would happen. And all the while he was saying, well, I'm getting better. I'm in AA. I'm working on my drinking. I haven't drank in this long. And he would share the coins and all the things that you get. And then he finally showed up on a Saturday to pick us up, and he had a beer in his lap, you know, going to pick up me and my little brother and drive us across town. And at that time I was only 12. And I said, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with you as long as you're still drinking. I didn't know he would take it to heart, but he did. I didn't talk to him again until I was 25, and then not again. And that was just briefly. And then not again until just these last 3 years, which unfortunately was also the last 3 years of his life.
Okay.
So because of that, just that fear, you know, I told myself this story that, well, if my own father doesn't love me, why would anyone else? You know, I'm not worthy of love. And so in all of my adult relationships, there was certainly that story was playing behind the scenes, and I was jealous. I would either stay too long in relationships with people who just weren't good because I was insecure. You know, I didn't know my worth. I didn't think I had any worth. And then I would, you know, really damage some relationships with my jealousy.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, I mean, that's because your work ties worth and jealousy real cleanly and closely together.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have to know, you have to understand, I mean, we're worthy of it. What I found in doing my own research and how do I get through this? Because there's not a lot of people that actually talk about jealousy. It's one of those emotions that people feel really embarrassed about. You know, it's not something we're not putting it on our social media or our dating profiles. Like, I'll look through your phone, choose me, you know, I'll question you on a daily basis. We're not doing that. It's embarrassing to talk about. So, you know, one of the things that I realized in this journey and doing research and just trying different things for myself, like, does this work? Does this work? How do I get out of these insecure habits that I'm doing? I realized, wait a second, this story that's running in the background that I'm not worthy of love, you know, my father, it wasn't that he didn't love me. He had a disease, and his problem with alcohol has nothing to do with my worthiness of love. Or my worthiness as a person. So it's really kind of, how do we get to the root? You know, what is the root of the jealousy? And that's where we really start.
Okay. Right. And so in one instance, then you're just talking about, how do you flip this to where it starts to recognize my own self-worth and power?
Yeah.
That's underneath, because obviously in some regards it can be skewed or non-existent. And sometimes I'm guessing from the people you work with, because this is definitely some of the clients I see, and as well as listeners of the show, that there can easily be I wasn't jealous until something happened in my marriage. And then it kind of brings it all out. And so in essence, though, how you get there doesn't matter as much as what you do once you're there. Is that fair to say?
It is. Yeah, because we don't always have to figure out, like, exactly when did this start and where did this come from and all of those things. It certainly might be helpful to figure out, like, okay, what is the story that I'm telling myself? Sure, we can dig into that. But yeah, you're right. We don't have to necessarily know that. It's just, well, how do I move forward? How do I overcome this? What do I do? Step one.
Okay, well, let's go there, because I think that's what's so important, because it's so... my experience with this is when there is an insecurity and it plays out this way, Because I think in some regards, we all have insecurities, but then they play out in a variety of different ways. But when it plays out in a jealous thread, man, it's destructive for both parties.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly intricate in how it impacts both parties, and neither are necessarily fully to blame versus it's just part of a dynamic that is really troublesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And thank you for bringing that up, because I did get to the point in my own relationship where my husband was like, I feel like I can't even look up. I can't even look, you know, around a room without that popping up. Are you feeling that way? So step one really is understanding that this is a you thing. This is a me thing that I need to handle. I say, you know, jealousy is not the problem. Jealousy is a solution. It's saying, hey, there's something that you need to go look at, and it is not outside of you. I hear sometimes people say, well, if he didn't, you know, if he didn't look at her, or if he wasn't doing these things, then I wouldn't feel jealous. We're never going to know if our partner's going to cheat on us or not. We don't have a magic, you know, crystal ball to say, are we going to be together forever for the rest of our lives? We don't know. Right. So forget about trying to answer that question. The question is, why is this driving my life? Why am I having such anxiety around this? And so it starts with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Because it's almost like you start seeing the cues in how you are reacting to things as when tell me if I'm speaking for you here in some regards. I think that when I recognize I'm looking for something from somebody else to help me feel better about me.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Your partner cannot reassure you all the time. That is not the job of a partner. That's exhausting for them. You know, that maybe should have happened with our parents, not our partners. That's not what they're there for.
Okay. And so when you see these things that are kind of like cues that, all right, I got something going on with me here.
Yeah.
What's next?
Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is, okay, let's get some awareness around it. And what I say is, you know, you can't move what's in your way until we really get a handle on those insecure things that we think, do, and say. So we have these think, do, say. Those are easy and people can really identify them. And I say, pull out your pen and paper and just let's go through. Think, do, say, what are you doing? So doing, that's looking at their phone. Maybe you're looking them up on location services. You're checking social media. Let's write all of those down. Those are habits. Those are insecure habits that you are doing. What are things that you're saying? My favorite one was, you know, if my partner would say, oh, remember last year when we went here? And if I didn't remember right away, I'd be like, oh, that must have been your other girlfriend. So that's the other piece of, okay, what are things that you're saying? One, what people realize is, oh, I'm really getting those digs in a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how often I'm kind of poking my partner and telling them, hey, I don't trust you. I don't think you're a good person. When we say those things, you know, that comment, just looking at it on the surface, might not sound horrible, but it's very damaging to a relationship. So,
well, there's an element of that if that's what I'm getting coming my way, then I'm going to most likely eventually respond in kind.
Yeah. Right?
They're like, okay, wait, I'm constantly getting attacked here. I'm going to attack back.
Yeah. I'm going to have some not so nice things to say back when you say those things to me, because it hurts my feelings that you don't trust me. It hurts my feelings that you are thinking that way of me when I haven't done anything to warrant that.
Right.
For sure.
Okay.
And then the think part really goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. You know, is there a story that you're telling yourself? Is there something? A lot of times we don't do that inventory of our beliefs that, you know, we developed as a way to, you know, survive certain circumstances. We don't do inventory of that enough. So, well, what are the thoughts? What are things that I'm saying to myself? Let me get those out on paper too. And then once you have the think, do, say out there, okay, let's start making some changes. And we got to get out of habits that we're doing.
Okay. Is there one of the three that's easier to start? Or yeah, you recommend and see beneficial of starting?
Where I usually start is the do. So that's, are you checking the phone? Are you looking up on location? Are you doing those things? And where we start is, let's pick one that you think might be the easiest for you to give up, because we want some momentum. We want some wins and small successes. It's all about that. So let's pick one of those. And you can do all of the other 16 or 27 things on your list, but you're not allowed to do that one thing.
Right.
What people realize then as they start them, you know, I'm going to start one at a time, is, oh, that's actually really freeing. I'm not spending my time doing that. Now, I might have checked it, you know, 10 times a day. For those 10 times today, I was able to focus at work. I was able to be present with my child. I didn't have that sick feeling, that nervous feeling of like, oh my gosh, what am I going to find? Because as you know, and definitely I'm more experienced in this than me, if what you want is actually happening, like you're what you want is that your partner is being faithful to you. If that's true, you're never going to find something.
Right.
You can't prove fidelity. Right. So you would just have to keep checking forever if what you really want is happening, right?
Yeah. And so let me add a caveat here, because I'm curious, Shannon, is there a difference then between how that unfolds for somebody that's just kind of been a pattern for a long period of their life? You know, because there are people that, yeah, I'm just a whole lot more untrusting of others and insecure about relationship status because of childhood, because of whatever. But then you get the scenarios that are also often common of, I had a betrayal, right? And it was a traumatic wounding of me. And now all of a sudden I become hyper vigilant to ensure it's not happening again. Or because that's the thing I hear all the time, like when I talk to clients, and this is a thread.
Yeah.
And the idea of checking a phone is regular occurrence. And I'm like, okay, what would happen if you stopped? And they were like, well, I couldn't. I have to, because it's almost like the safety thing that's the motivation or whatever, but it's still, they don't see the cost in it. And so is there a difference in that scenario?
Potentially a little bit, but I would say it's still very much the same, because the person who has been untrusting their whole lives, they're just untrusting in any way, and they have to change that. And it's sort of the same thing of, yes, and to be fair, if you had that dysfunction growing up, you probably have been and chosen people who maybe that it ended that there was some infidelity, right?
Like, absolutely.
That's something we're probably drawing. But going back to your scenario of, okay, this actually happened to me. And it was, you know, we were together 23 years and I found out that this person was having an affair. So then what? I don't ever want that to happen to me again. Part of what we have to understand is, well, yeah, you know, that's okay. That's human nature to want to protect yourself and not want to experience those feelings again. So that is some hard work where we have to go, okay, this is my brain and my body reacting to, hey, this looks really familiar, even if it's not, like, oh, they took their phone with them to the other room. That happened. That my partner was doing that when I found out that they cheated. So that's natural. Your body's going to go, hey, this looks really familiar. We have to learn to be able to distinguish those things, that this is a protection mechanism that I'm doing. And to your point about, well, we have to learn then to go, one, this is a different person. This is a different scenario. And is it worth the cost, as you said, am I going to spend every day feeling sick at my stomach, not being able to do things, feeling anxious, worried all the time? Or am I going to go, you know what? I'm going to let this go and I'm going to enjoy every day. And if it happens, then I will deal with it then. Because the false statement that we tell ourselves is like, well, if I'm constantly protecting or preparing, you know, I'm preparing myself, I'll be able to handle it, or I'll know better if I'm preparing. It still feels just as crappy if it happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hurt is hurt. You know, devastation is devastation. Yeah. I get you, because that's the scenario to me that I think is such a valuable message that you have, in the sense that this goes back to what you said early on in our conversation, in that we can't ever have a complete assurances from somebody else with fidelity. We can get an idea of when it's present, because I use the idea kind of like you're describing too. Fidelity is fully showing up. It's not just the lack of betrayal. it's fully showing up and being
so
present.
Good.
That's fidelity. Infidelity is a breaking of that bond, right? And that commitment. But it's that element of, I can't get assurances from another person enough. There's always a gap or a bridge that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. That's where energy resides, actually, in our relationships, because otherwise if we're too close, it's smothering, because you're always under a microscope and micromanaged. Right. And so, it's so interesting to point that out. And that sounds like that's kind of what you do in a lot of ways, is just, let's point out a dynamic and also what's going on underneath with you, which is so, so good.
Yes, I love that, the energy piece too, because that's another thing that we do, is we like to suffocate when we're not trusting, when we have this extreme jealousy. We like to suffocate. We like to be very controlling, because we think, if I know all the details, going back to that, like if I know all the details or I can control situations, then I'm going to be able to prevent this from happening.
Right. Right. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with being able to control someone else.
Yeah, that's that scenario of, is there another human being involved? Okay, well, then we got trouble, possibly. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and so when you're talking about, so I love the strategy of just, let's get a clearer picture.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're going to start to get an uncovering of my narrative that maybe started this, because that's the think, that's the belief.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now, in some regards to me, it's like now the real heavy lifting starts.
Right. Because now we got to change our thought patterns. We have to change our habits. Yeah. Those are all things. One of the really great things, and, you know, I started this on my own, and I've then sort of passed it to my clients, is the power of one, O-N-E. And that's being open to new. And then you kind of fill in the blank with the explanation, evidence, experience, whatever that E word is. I have some that even are like, I've moved beyond that. I'll use any letter of the alphabet. And that's fine. The idea is, okay, I thought this way. I thought this one thing. What are the other possibilities? Like, okay, this is the way that I normally think.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, usually our first thought's wrong, you know, when we're in that fear mode, because we're in protection mode, and this is like, hey, this is kind of triggering, or this looks familiar. It's usually wrong. That first thought is usually wrong. So, okay, what are some other possibilities? And when you open yourself up to other possibilities, you can see that, okay, that's just one thought of what it could be. There might be 5 or 10 other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. And so I want to pull one part out you just said, because I think this is really important, in the sense that, because I'm guessing you'll kind of have the same experience. Somebody would come along and then they would feel like what they're being asked to do is just take away all their safety net, right? Because if you look at it objectively, that's the motivations for the constant checking constant assurance, constant, you know, just check in, if you will, on the status of things. So I'm taking away your safety nets. And so what would happen to me with a lot of people, I think we get into the scenario of, yeah, but what do I do when I get these feelings, these senses where now they're hiding their phone again? Now they're right. Because what you described is you air it, you just don't attack with it.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Right.
In the sense of, hey, this is familiar. And I'm just wanting that to be known that it feels familiar. I'm not accusing. I'm just kind of trying to point out that this feels, because I love the power of when I take on myself in the presence of somebody else, it really is a good energy source for both.
Yeah. You're going to get a definitely different response if you're going in accusatory, like, you did this, I know this, this is what you're doing to me, versus, you know, I've struggled with this and this is coming up for me again. And this is what I'm telling myself. And this is what I'm fearful of. This is what I'm afraid of. I think people can relate on a human, you know, human to human, when someone is afraid, when someone feels fear, it's a little bit easier to go, ugh, you know, like, oh, I hate that you are, you know, feeling that fear or feeling afraid versus like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Because oftentimes accusations and accusatory tones are just usually felt with defensiveness and explanations, which just further, further fuel a dynamic.
Yes. And, you know, to point out, fear and intuition feel very different. And I think people get those confused a lot. Like, oh, because it feels so strong when
that's a great clarification.
Yeah, because it, when something like that pops up where it's like, oh, this looks really familiar to something else I experience, it feels so strong in our body and in our mind that we think, it must be true. Like, there must be something here because I keep feeling this way. I keep, you know, this keeps coming up. And people get that really confused with intuition. And I just want to sort of talk about the difference, if that's okay.
Please. Yes, it's worth unpacking.
Yeah. So when we talk about fear, like, that's fear. You can almost just even feel the difference of, or hear the difference in the words. Fear feels really heavy. If you're going into these situations where, like, oh, I'm already worried about this event that they're going to, I'm already worried about guys' night out or girls' night out. And then on girls' night out or guys' night out, you're in that mode of like, oh, they haven't texted in 2 hours. I wonder what they're doing. Or, oh, they're at a restaurant. Or, I thought they were going somewhere else. And now they're, that is fear. That's fear. It's constant. You're already sick about it. You're already thinking ahead. Intuition, that's going to pop up when you're in the shower and you weren't even thinking anything about it. It's very light. It's just comes to you, not when you're kind of in the depths of like, I'm already searching.
That's huge, because I think that makes the difference. Because that's I'm going to be using this phraseology with clients, by the way, Shannon, because I use that's very succinct. And I've always fallen into the world of, because you get the question of, but how I just can't open myself to the possibility this happens again, right? I can't. And so it's fear based, it's protection, it's safety, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So I always use a little bit of a different framework in the sense of saying the same thing, which is,
how,
you know,
will
what?
I know?
I would use the idea of, hey, if it happens again, or if there's the chance, you can always rely on the stupidity of humans, because we just can't keep things hidden as people. We just can't. If you're paying attention at all, it comes out, right? And so the way I pay attention most, as you're describing, is I settle myself down to watch, to be in tune, and then intuit what's going on. And so I love that idea, because it kind of
so good.
Something strikes you. Something strikes you as because, like, something's off that's deeper here. So I need to bring this forward. That's huge.
Yes. So good, because yeah, if you're already thinking it, if you're already in the depths of like, I'm going through all their stuff, or I'm, you know, I'm keeping track of this, or I'm so focused on that, you might be missing the big picture, right? Like, how are you actually supposed to notice differences? Because you're not present with that person. You're not present in the moment. You're not seeing the things happening around you. So yeah, so good.
Oh man, that's fantastic. Just the differences between fear and intuition. That's worth all, that's gold. That's all of it right there. That's a huge part of how we are. That's good. Well, Shannon, how can people find you and do more with what you do and all that you offer?
Yeah. So two ways. One, they can go to my website, which is just topself.com. There's some freebies there for them. I also offer one-on-one coaching, and I have a great group coaching program called Trust Building Bootcamp. And then I have the podcast, which you are a guest on, and that'll be coming out very soon. The podcast is also called Top Self.
Perfect. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for the time here and the work you're doing, because it's so valuable.
Yeah, you as well, Corey. Thanks so much for having me.
It's fun to me that we get to have a guest on and part of the show with you and I.
I like that too.
To be able to unpack some of what just went down in the in the regular version. Mm-hmm. Because as we said at the very beginning, insecurity is such a human thing. Mm. And I think we come across people that can portray really, really that they're secure, that they're real solid, right? Well, one, I think they did a lot of work to get there, but it's also a continuing thing, because there's areas that we're likely still insecure in slightly or somewhat or dramatically. I just don't even want to deal with that.
Yeah, or do I overfunction because I'm so insecure?
So I stay in the areas that I feel secure.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's the comfort zone. That's part of what helps create who we are, I think. But it's a fun, I love the idea, babe, that this is something that we've seen looking back and then even now, that I think we all can just get better at, wait, I don't know if I'm really comfortable with this.
You mean we've seen within us?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then are just getting within better me, at it, dealing with it now. No, me too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel great about this. And that's just a better way to, let's air it and let's see what we both do about it. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, again, let us know. 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. All the transcripts are available of each of the episodes on the episodes pages, as well as all advertisers' deals and discount codes. You can find them at smr.fm. So please consider supporting those who help support the show. So however you took a little bit of time out to get more secure in your life, hang out with us while doing it. Thanks. We'll see you next time.